Welcome to Press TV's special coverage of the ongoing war on the Gaza Strip. As we speak to you, the death toll is standing at 1,032 Palestinians dead in the Gaza Strip, over 6,200 of them injured by the Israeli bombardment of Gaza. Now, as we speak, Israel has also accused Hamas of violating its own ceasefire and vowing to continue ahead with its onslaught on the Strip. However, Hamas, they're asking for a 24-hour truce, saying all Palestinian factions have agreed to it for the commemoration of the Eid al-Fitr festivities, which mark the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Now let's cross over to our correspondent, Hisham Mahanna, who's standing by live from the Gaza Strip with the very latest. Now, Hisham, the bombs continue to fall. I understand Israel continues to target various positions in the Gaza Strip. Tell us a bit more about what's going on right now.
The bombing is still going on in Gaza Strip for the last many hours of the day. As we said, there has been many targeting for the civilians in Gaza Strip and the urban areas, shelling from the tanks from the ground and airstriking by the drones and jet fighters. We know now that the President of the United States spoke to Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, asking him to announce a ceasefire, a humanitarian ceasefire, without any conditions. And we are expecting reaching a ceasefire tomorrow or any time soon in order to end or at least freeze this humanitarian crisis going on in the on the Gaza Strip. The targeting is still going on. Civilians are still being in danger. This is the situation, the recent situation now in Gaza Strip.
Right now, Hisham, the earlier ceasefire that we did see happen on Saturday, where Israel did agree to halt its hostilities for 12 hours, even though it did say it will continue to look for and neutralize any tunnel activities. How effective was that ceasefire? Did it help in bringing in any humanitarian supplies for the people of Gaza?
The last 12-hour ceasefire didn't achieve the goals of the Israeli military on the ground, as they couldn't eliminate the tunnels that they were actually intending to. The situation has gotten worse actually in this ceasefire, as many civilians have died and got injured, and many buildings were destroyed, including the civilians inside them. The ceasefire actually didn't change anything on the ground, but it has been a little bit less lethal and less killing against the civilians in Gaza Strip. In the next ceasefire, which is expected to be a bit longer than a 12-hour, many of the emergency teams will deploy better and wider on the ground. But this also tells us that there is a high potential for more casualties to be discovered, more tragedy to be discovered as well on the ground, especially in the urban areas, which has been catastrophically declared as a crisis areas in Gaza Strip.
Okay. Hisham, stay with us on the line. Before I continue with our other guests, we're getting this breaking news coming in. Rockets have been fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel's Kisufim area. Of course, let's not forget the resistance movements in the Gaza Strip are putting up a fight against the Israeli aggression. Now we're seeing rockets being fired into Israel's Kisufim region. Let me cross over to the West Bank. Now joining us from Ramallah is Nell Burton via Skype. Now, Nell, there are uprisings, protests taking place in the West Bank against the Israeli aggression, specifically at a time when Eid al-Fitr is coming up. This is when more restrictions are placed on the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which simmers tensions even further.
Absolutely. Now, just to remind you, this is the end of the holy month of Ramadan, so we're in Eid al-Fitr. And people are actually referring this to Eid al-Shahid, which is essentially the holiday of the dead. So there's a very somber atmosphere actually this evening, whereas usually it would be celebratory throughout Jerusalem and also the West Bank. So, of course, this has seriously affected the citizens here. And let's remind you that there were over 10 people killed in the previous week inside the West Bank by Israeli soldiers and one by the settlers. So people have been burying their dead even in the West Bank. The bloodshed has spread to here. And even in Jerusalem, two youths from Beit Hanina were brutally beaten in a racially motivated attack by a Jewish mob there. So the violence is continuing. However, the resistance has also been extremely strong. The most poignant of the marches was one that had 20,000 people from all walks of life, all factions, out last Thursday. And there was a night literally of bloodshed by Kalandia checkpoint, the wall and checkpoint that isolates the people of the West Bank from their Jerusalemite neighbors. But the protests have been widespread from the north in Jenin all the way down to the south in Hebron, also known as Al-Khalil, Bethlehem on a nightly basis, in most Palestinian villages in the countryside, and also at Bab al-Amud, which is Damascus Gate, the main gate into the Muslim quarter of the old city of Jerusalem, and also in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Palestinians actually broke through the police borders in order to access their mosque, and then clashes ensued. And there's no doubt if the bloodshed continues in the Gaza Strip, as it looks as though it's set to do, that will absolutely be reflected in Jerusalem and the West Bank.
And now, what about the flurry of diplomatic activities going on behind the scenes? I do understand that the U.S. President Barack Obama has again called out for an unconditional ceasefire for Israel to take part in, even though he did again reaffirm Israel's quote-unquote right to defend itself.
Well, this issue is rhetoric has been the issue since the beginning. All major players on this diplomatic table who are trying to broker some form of ceasefire are still using very biased language in support of the Israelis and claiming that what they're doing is defense. So although they're then stating there are civilian casualties, but it's almost as a footnote. And of course, Hamas are never going to accept this or accept the mediators to broker a ceasefire. There's a massive amount of distrust, particularly as they're trying to use the framework that was agreed in 2012 after one of the operations against the Gaza Strip pillar of defense, as coined by the Israelis. Part of this ceasefire agreement was to lift the blockade on Gaza and to allow the freedom of goods coming in, particularly through the Rafah border crossing, which is a border crossing with Egypt. But Hamas claimed they actually broke this within weeks, and it was actually the Israelis to start firing towards the Rafah border crossing. They also say they're using the tunnels as an excuse to continue to bomb schools, mosques, and of course, civilians. Now, I saw an interesting tweet from Peter Lerner, who's the spokesman for the Israeli forces, and he put up a poster showing pictures of schools, mosques, and people, and showing how much is the cost of this war. And he's essentially saying that every tunnel Hamas builds, it costs them mosques, schools, and people. So while the Israelis continue to place the blame on Hamas for the Gazan civilians, the Americans and all of those on the diplomatic table are saying this is self-defense. So it seems as though everyone's agreeing this is collateral damage, which of course to the Gazans, losing over 1,000 people, 6,000 injuries, is a massacre.
Indeed. Stay with us also. Now, joining us also from Berkeley via Skype is Paul Lerudy. He's a co-founder of the Free Palestine Movement. Mr. Lerudy, thank you very much for joining us here on Press TV. Now, first of all, I'd like to get your opinion, if I may, on the recent calls by the Obama administration for an unconditional ceasefire, but under the same breath, again, reaffirming Israel's quote-unquote right to defend itself.
Well, I have to agree with Nell that what we're seeing from this case is political posturing. The United States will try to create a ceasefire that changes nothing. Probably the Israelis occasionally do not have an objection to a brief ceasefire that changes nothing. And so the demands of Hamas and the requirements of of the Palestinians in Gaza will go ignored by all of these ceasefires, but Israel and the United States will presumably, from a friendly international press, be looked upon as peacemakers because they asked for an unconditional ceasefire. This is nonsense. The people in Gaza are losing what little water supply they have. Buildings are in ruins. There are more than 150,000 people who are homeless there. They're locked in. There isn't another group of a population on the earth that is sealed in and not permitted to leave, and nobody is permitted to go in. And now it's worse than ever because the outlet through Egypt is gone because of a ruthless and a regime there that won't permit even the small amount of traffic through Rafah before. This is